to be with you today. Have you ever woken up in the morning with just a clarity of what God is calling you to do and the faith that you can do it, and you do until about noon? And then what seems so clear gets foggy, and maybe you make an embarrassing mistake. And instead of boldness, you just want to go back to bed and get under the covers and start over the next day. Has that happened to you? I think our friend, the Apostle Peter, could start a support group for all of us in that. In our gospel passage today, Jesus and his disciples are on their way. And at this point, the disciples have seen miraculous healings. They have heard Jesus' powerful teachings. They have watched as he verbally sparred with the religious leaders. And they have eaten. They have tasted the bread that he multiplied to feed thousands of people. And crowds are following them wherever they go. People who are desperate for healing or hungry for the words of this marvelous preacher from Galilee. So they are on their way. And let me be clear, this is not a short little hop over the hill. The last place we read in Mark that Jesus was Bethsaida, which is 25 miles away from Caesarea Philippi. So this is a multi-day walking, talking, sleeping, eating time that Jesus had with his disciples. And as they go, Jesus wants to know, what are the crowds saying about me? They know, obviously, that he's someone special, so they think, well, maybe he's a prophet from of old, like Elijah. Or maybe he's like John the Baptist, but raised from the dead. But when Jesus asked them, what do you say that I am? Peter answers, you are the Messiah. Peter's life lived up to this point with Jesus, plus the help of the Holy Spirit, helped him to recognize the clarity that this person in front of him was the anointed one, the one promised from antiquity, the powerful one sent to restore and renew the world. Peter recognized that Jesus was the good news, the Messiah. And it is incredible to me, even after this time, that God in the person of Jesus broke into a time and a place to display the kingdom of God. He was in person, in this place. And while we can't see Jesus the way that Peter saw Jesus, we do get to see Jesus all around us. The book of James, chapter 1, verse 17, says that every generous act of giving with every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father. So the hungry recognize the renewing power of the Messiah when they receive a meal. And the sick recognize the healing power of Jesus when they are loved and cared for. And the oppressed recognize the justice of the kingdom of God with the support of their neighbors and friends who protest and pray and support them. Wherever the kingdom of God breaks into this reality, bringing faith, hope, and love, there is where we see Jesus. And yet, as soon as Peter gets it so right, Jesus, you are the Messiah, he tells them, well, don't tell anybody. Okay, that's a little confusing, right? And the very next thing Jesus tells them, quite openly, not a secret in any way, is that he must undergo great suffering. And so Peter, who was so right and bold before, is now very wrong as he takes Jesus aside and rebukes him. He rebukes Jesus. And this, I believe, is the reason that Jesus told them, don't tell anybody. Because they don't understand exactly what it means that Jesus is the Messiah. Their image of the Messiah does not include suffering, rejection, and death. Their image of the Messiah is a powerful king, one who's coming in glory to restore Israel, to overthrow Roman oppressors, to be honored and served in Jerusalem, along with all of his best friends, the disciples. But that's not the type of Messiah that Jesus was. He came to serve, not be served. Jesus said that he must undergo great suffering because he knew, as we know, that to oppose power structures and injustice inevitably leads to suffering. Jesus' suffering was the result of his opposition to the corruption of religion, the oppression of the poor, and the perversion of justice. So when Jesus came as this Messiah, bearing the fullness of humanity with our weakness and our grief, he knew that he would suffer as he proclaimed this kingdom of God. Peter got it wrong, and he was ashamed. He was embarrassed. Does that sound familiar? Sometimes we think that because we know in part, to put it in Bible language, we know it all. And we can get it very wrong. A very beloved family member of mine, a truly faithful woman of God, in full hope and expectation that Jesus is returning, decided not to worry or trouble herself about climate change because Jesus is coming soon and will fix it. And she was ashamed of herself when her grandchild was born and she realized, oh, I want a world with clean water and air for this child that I love. Someone else, reading in 2 Thessalonians, the verse that says, anyone unwilling to work should not eat, believes with the politician that we should cut social services to the unemployed. And then they are ashamed when layoffs cause them to lose their job and they have to stand in line to get aid. Or maybe it's simply that we get ashamed of ourselves for our own weakness and tears and suffering instead of remembering that the Messiah that we follow is a Messiah who lived into every bit of sorrow and pain that we have ever had. Who we believe this Jesus is that we follow determines how we will be following him. After rebuking Peter, Jesus turns to the crowd there with his disciples and says, if any want to be my followers. Now the Gospel of Mark, I know we skipped at John for a bit, but we've been in Mark this year, has demonstrated the boundary crossing that Jesus has already done. He touches the unclean. He eats with the wicked, the sinners. He heals Gentile and Jew. Everyone is invited to follow the path of Jesus. But what is this path? It is one where people deny themselves and take up their cross and follow him. What exactly does that mean? What does that look like? We look to Jesus. Jesus denied himself his own privilege of heaven to be in the muck and in the dirt and in the sorrow and joy of human. Jesus, knowing what was coming, did not stop opposing domination and injustice all the way to the cross. Jesus continued to proclaim and to bless all people, even those that others wished would be left behind. Following this Jesus as our Messiah means following his example, even when it hurts. But let's go back to our friend Peter, because the last verse of this reading often gives people trouble that Jesus will be ashamed of us if we deny him or are ashamed of him. But our friend Peter denied Jesus three times. Three times he denied Jesus, and Peter himself was ashamed. But he got to see the risen Lord. And the risen Lord embraced him and welcomed him and called him to be a great father of our faith. It was only then that Peter could really understand what Messiah meant, what Jesus meant. It was only then that he understood what it means to follow Jesus. It was only when he saw the grace and love of the risen Jesus that he understood what it meant when he first proclaimed, "You are the Messiah." Who we think Jesus is determines how we follow him. So to deny ourselves and take up our crosses and follow him means to relieve suffering and injustice. It means we are rescuing the weak, and we are displaying and proclaiming the love and blessing to all of humanity. It means moving beyond just knowing some facts about Jesus. The good news is that following the way of Jesus brings the kingdom of heaven right here, right into our homes and into our places and into our reality, because we get to be agents of the kingdom of God. So may we know and see and enact the kingdom of God in our time.
Amen.